This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Welcome to the In Focus podcast. My name is Jayant Sriram, and I'm your host for today. The COVID-19 crisis continues to dominate our news coverage, as it rightly should. And on this podcast and elsewhere in The Hindu, we're working to get you the most relevant news and the best reporting on it. However, we switch focus on the podcast briefly today to look at international affairs. We're going to be discussing something that happened in 1915, during the course of the First World War, the mass killing of about 1.5 million Armenians by the Ottoman Empire. Over the last weekend, US President Joe Biden formally recognized this act of mass killing as a genocide. In doing so, he was fulfilling a long-standing American promise that his predecessors had failed to act on. In 2019, both houses of the US Congress passed resolutions calling the slaughter as a genocide, but the then President Donald Trump stopped short of a formal recognition, mainly because of Turkish opposition. Turkey, America's NATO ally and the successor of the Ottoman Empire, has never acknowledged that a genocide took place, and it sees a mention of it as an insult or a moral stain. So today, we're going to speak about what happened to the Armenians in 1915 and why they were targeted for these killings. We'll then talk about the timing of President Biden's move to recognize the killings as a genocide and what it says about a changing geopolitical picture, especially when it comes to Turkey. I'm joined by The Hindu's international affairs editor, Stanley Johnny. Stanley, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jayant. Great to be back in Focus.
Right. So the story so far, I mean, just to kind of sum up the big headline on this, is that US President Joe Biden on Saturday, I think it was, officially recognized the mass killings of Armenians by the Ottoman Turks in 1915-16 as an act of genocide. So let's just start there. I mean, before we get into the other details of the story, why was this significant?
It is significant because this recognition is coming by the United States. It's coming from the United States, and the United States and Turkey are allies in the NATO. It will certainly have some implications in foreign policy. This call for a formal declaration, a formal recognition of the Armenian genocide has been there for quite some time. So you have Armenian lobby groups, human rights activists, etc. Even Armenia as the Caucasian country today. So everybody was calling for this to happen, and even U.S. Congress in 2019, both houses of American Congress passed resolutions recognizing the mass killings of Armenians as a genocide, as an act of genocide. But President Trump did not do it because the State Department has to officially, formally categorize it. The Trump administration didn't do it. Not just Trump. Ronald Reagan once called it a genocide, but his administration didn't formally, recognize it as a genocide. And Biden's predecessors didn't do it, mainly because of opposition from Turkey. Because the Turkish authorities, whether it is Erdogan or the Republican Party that was in power before Erdogan for a long time, so Turkish leaders had always resisted calling the atrocities against Armenians a genocide. So genocide means it comes with legal implications, legal and moral implications. The Turks always evaded that. And their official line is that this is an attempt to insult the Turks. Because basically, when you call it a genocide, the fingers are pointed towards Turks, Ottoman Turks, of course. It was a completely different regime. And we are talking about 1915-16 during the, when the war, First World War was going on. But still, the official line of Turkey is that this is an attempt to insult Turkishness or Turks or whatever. And unfortunately, that is the line that still continues in Ankara. So Turkey has always opposed to any kind of categorization of these atrocities as genocide. And Turkey being a valuable ally to the Americans, because it's a NATO member, the U.S. presidents did not want to infuriate the Turks. So they, so far, they stayed away from it. But Biden has moved ahead. I think, you know, overall, America's relationship with Turkey has taken a hit in recent years, which may have helped Biden to reach this right. decision from a strategic point of view. Because in foreign policy, I always believe that your strategy, you know, triumphs over your moral calculations. So even for the United States, they might issue moral statements, but fundamentally, you know, it goes down to your strategy. So basically, there are issues between the United States and Turkey. For example, over Turkey's purchase of S-400 missile defense system from the Russians, or Turkey's foreign policy in Syria, you know. And Erdogan has taken a very ambitious, aggressive foreign policy, which has irked the Americans. So there are, you know, structural issues now developing between the United States and Turkey. And I think that may have allowed Biden to bite the bullet this time, because they knew that Turkey has moved away from the American orbit. It is not like late 1990s or early 2000s. So this is the time to do this. I think that could explain the timing of this decision.
Right. And just to kind of go back to the story of what happened to the Armenians itself. I mean, what are the kind of details that we have on that? Why were the Armenians targeted? What was this whole massacre about?
Yeah, Jayant, I think it's pretty well documented. What something puzzles me is that I don't understand why the Turks are so obsessed about it, because this is not a crime committed by the modern Turkish Republic. This is a crime committed by the Ottoman Empire, you know, the Ottoman government. Now you have a completely different republic in Turkey. So from a very logical and moral point of view, this Turkish government should say that, yeah, atrocities were committed, and we have to move on, or we should address these issues. But unfortunately, that's not happening. Because you look at the, you know, Article 2 of the UN Convention on Genocide that was declared in December 1948, which clearly describes genocide, you know, as, you know, it's carrying out acts intended to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. That's how genocide is described. And then you look at what happened to the Armenians. This is exactly what happened to the Armenians, right? Because basically there are you know, plenty of studies. You know, one study by the University of Minnesota's Center for Holocaust and Genocide Studies. According to that, in 1914, before the advent of the First World War, over 2 million people, Armenians, were there in the Ottoman Empire. And then in 1922, you know, say 4 years after the war, the population of Armenians within those regions, the erstwhile Ottoman Empire, was 387,000. So this is what prompted many historians to, you know, estimate that up to 1.5 million Armenians were killed during the war. And why they were killed, and especially when the Ottoman Empire started collapsing in the late 19th and early 20th century, you know. So the Ottoman government became more and more Turkic. You know, it has started assuming this ethnic character. And the minorities in the empire were being persecuted, especially the Armenians. Why? Because after the late 19th century, this war, the Russo-Turkish war, in which the Ottomans suffered a major setback, and the great powers, you know, in the Berlin Treaty, the great powers dictated terms to the Ottoman Sultan. And then the Ottoman Sultan was asked to, accommodate the Armenians and respect their rights. So the Ottomans in Constantinople, they started looking at Armenians as a fifth column. And after the Young Turk Revolution, this perception has become stronger in Constantinople. So let's say at the beginning of the First World War, in 1914, and in early 1915. The Ottomans suffered a major defeat at the hands of the Russians in the Caucasian region. So what they did, they blamed it on the Armenians, their treachery. And then they first executed the Armenian soldiers in the Ottoman army. And then they assembled Armenian intellectuals, writers, you know, public personalities, etc., etc., and executed most of them. And this happened in 1915, April 24th. And that is the day which Armenians, you know, still they observe it as the Remembrance Day of the Armenian genocide. And that was only the beginning. And what the Ottoman government did, they expected Russia to advance into the Ottoman territories. The Ottoman Empire was actually collapsing at that time. You know, the war was raging. The Ottomans joined the war on the side of the Germans. And there was no certainty who was going to win. The Brits were coming to anyway. The Brits were coming to coming to the Middle East, which was largely the Ottoman territory. And in Caucasus, the Russian Empire was actually, you know, fighting the Ottomans. So the Ottomans thought that once the Russian army advances into the Ottoman territories in the Caucasian region, the Armenians would join the Russians and start fighting against the Ottomans. Because they always looked at the Armenians as a fifth column, as traitors, you know, quote unquote. So interestingly, I mean, what they did was that they forcefully deported Armenians, hundreds of thousands of them, including women, children, non-combatants, those who didn't have anything to do with the war, and hundreds and thousands of them from Eastern Anatolia. Eastern Anatolia was an Ottoman region, which is the modern-day Turkey, roughly. Let's say the modern day Turkey, from Eastern Anatolia to the Syrian steppe, you know, across the mountains and deserts to the Syrian deserts. And they were forced from their houses to the Syrian desert. And on this was a kind of a, you know, march of death. Many of them died on the way without food, without shelter, without water, without medicines. And some of them, those who made it to the Syrian desert, they died in the concentration camps in the desert. So that's what millions, 1.5 million people, hundreds and thousands of Armenians died actually during the course of the war. If this is not a genocide, what is it? This is a simple question.
Right. And so, you know, this is, we're talking about something that happened in 1915-16. And, you know, since then, you know, as you mentioned, no Turkish government has acknowledged that a crime was committed against the Armenian people.
Yeah.
But has anyone actually been held responsible? Have there been any sort of, you know, trials or attempt to establish responsibility?
Yeah. So after the war, the Ottoman Empire collapsed and Turkey became a modern republic under the leadership of Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. And then the new republic had actually, you know, the new republic acknowledged that some atrocities were committed against the Ottomans. They didn't call it a genocide. They still don't call it a genocide. But they acknowledged, something happened to the Armenians. And then there were trials, you know, mostly targeting the officials of the Ottoman government. So let's say from 1908, since the Young Turk Revolution, Turkey was largely run by this Young Turk triumvirate. There were three pashas. One pasha was the Grand Vizier, the Prime Minister, and one was in charge of the war. They are called the three pashas, and they were running the government. One was in charge of the interior, the home affairs. So after the war, once they lost the war, the three pashas fled the country. So all of them actually went to Germany. And then Germany offered protection to them. So there were trials. The three pashas were tried. And then they were sentenced to death in absentia. But basically these were, you know, and one of the generals, one of the governors in Anatolia region was hanged to death. But these were some, what should I say, some minimal steps which the new Turkish Republic had taken. But there was no formal acknowledgement of the magnitude of the crimes committed against, you know, the Armenians. And the Armenians, what they did, they formed an underground committee like the Jews did, you know, during the Second World War, during and after the Second World War, to hunt down the Nazis. So the Armenians wanted to hunt down the Ottoman government officials. And the Grand Vizier, Talal Pasha, was shot dead on the streets of Berlin after the war, in Talat Pasha, on March 15, 1921, by an Armenian student. So Talat Pasha is widely seen. He was widely seen as the main architect of the Armenian genocide. And the student who killed him, who shot him to death, so he claimed that he was mentally unstable and he wasn't punished by the German court. He was let free. So these are interesting, you know, tidbits from history. But if you ask me whether there were any governmental efforts to hold those who were responsible for the genocide accountable, so besides, apart from these minimal steps, there was nothing. No reparation, you know, no recognition of the crimes committed against the Armenians, nothing.
Right. And just to sort of clear up one thing, as you mentioned at the start, so this acknowledgement of a genocide by Turkey that has not happened thus far, yeah, it only carries some sort of moral stain, right? Is there any kind of sort of retrospective, you know, fixing of responsibility that would have any kind of material consequence to Turkey?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there would be any material consequence to Turkey because this is, yeah, of course, this is a victory for the Armenians because they are living with this burden. You know, they were one of the persecuted communities in history, and their persecution has not even got, unless the Jews, and because we knew what happened to the Jews. And we knew the Nazis did it, and the German government, the post-Nazi, the post-war German government itself had denounced the Nazi past, and the Nazis were punished. You had the Nuremberg trial, and Nazis are still punished, whoever who had Nazi connections. But that didn't happen in the case of the Armenians, because the Turkish government still resists even the recognition of Armenians. So in that sense, I think the American recognition is, I mean, at least we are discussing it now. It's become, you know, it's being discussed everywhere. So it's a step forward for the Armenians. I think the larger side is that it is basically, I think this has come from the United States at a time when our relationship between the two countries are worse, because the Americans might be seeing that this is an opportunity to punish or to infuriate Turkey, because Turkey was slowly moving away from the American orbit. As long as Turkey was with the United States, you know, throughout the Cold War, the Americans never raised a voice about it. So now they are doing it mainly because Turkey, kind of, as part of Turkey's own foreign policy ambitions, it is now trying to balance between Russians and the United States. It wants to play a more ambitious role in Syria, and it is more active in Qatar. It is more active in the Eastern Mediterranean region, even in the Caucasian region when there was conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan, Turkey was there. So Turkey is now trying to be a more muscular foreign policy power, not only in the Middle East, basically in the former Ottoman region. So the Americans might be finding that this is, instead of winning Turkey back, they are actually trying to push some buttons, which could at least hurt Turkey's ego. This is the larger geopolitical setting of this issue. But beyond that, I think, yeah, of course, this is a step forward for the Armenian people. But beyond that, I don't think Turkey would face any material consequences over this.
Right. So we'll wrap it up there, Stanley. Always important, as you said, to keep this larger geopolitical context in mind. And thank you so much for joining us on this episode of In Focus today.
Thank you, Jayan. Thanks for having me.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.